Alrighty, well, we're going to spend a little time in God's Word. No surprise there, I guess, right? And we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 25 first. Proverbs 25. Culturally, we are familiar with the idea of sending someone to do a specific task or to deliver a specific message. We have it done for us, and we do it all the time. It's just something that is very clear in our understanding and our culture. As a matter of fact, last night we some of us went to dinner up in North Brunswick to Samantha. I don't even know her last name, but Samantha's and her husband have a restaurant. So we went there and had dinner, and Samantha was pulling some of the plates off of the table, and one dropped and crashed on the concrete floor, and it made a big crashing noise. And she, it was quite funny. She goes, "Clean up on aisle four." And I'm sure we've been in grocery stores where somebody made a mess, and on the loudspeaker, you know, "Clean up in whatever aisle." And we understand that. Now somebody's going to go to that aisle four and start cleaning up, right? That, and we would expect that. And the manager's going to expect that whoever he's sending is going to do it, and the one going is probably expecting, okay, I guess I better do it. But what if the person got there last night, and instead of starting to sweep up all the broken glass, got a little text, and so pulled out his phone and looked at his phone and then started, you know, thumbing it and looked at it again, and then went on to Facebook and started, just stood there for like 10 minutes just... He'd be distracted, right? I think they'd say, "Hey, I think you were sent to aisle four to do this." It'd be a distraction. That person really wouldn't have done what they were sent to do. And in Proverbs 25, it talks a little bit about things being done correctly or incorrectly when you're being sent. But chapter 25, verse 13 says, "As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters." So this faithful person, when is sent with a message, does it correctly, and the master's like, "Ah, good, he did it correctly." But on the other side, Proverbs chapter 10, we'll see the other side of it, the guy with the thumbs on the phone. Chapter 10 and in verse 13, it says, verse 26, it says, "As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him." I thought you were going to take care of aisle four. What happened? But we appreciate it when a person's faithful to being to doing what they're sent to do, or I'm sure people that send us are appreciative of the fact that we get it done. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. But it is just a very interesting thing about the idea of being sent. Or to send. It's generally for a specific task, whatever that task may be. And I thought today it'd be interesting to look at us being sent by God and people who have been sent by God through the years in the scriptures. So we're going to look at every use of the word. We'll be here for at least 20 minutes. But we're going to look at individuals who were sent by God. And just the great blessings that was involved with that. And the first guy, you will never guess who the first person sent by God is. Adam. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23. This is Adam in the garden. So we know what happened there. It says, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Adam was not faithful to the truths of God's word that was commanded him to obey. And out he went. So that's the first guy sent. But there are better ones. But he was sent by God. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Genesis, Exodus. God sends people. God sends angels. God sends insects. God sends animals. God does all kinds of things that he sends. Here's an example of a person, as we know, Moses. Chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, and a land flowing with milk and honey, and unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and all those other guys." Verse 9, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto him, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, or say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and have seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And as we know, Moses was faithful in all his house, and great things came to pass with what God did for his people in a great deliverance for those children of Israel. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at an angel that must have gotten worn out after a while. Luke chapter 1. This is we're going to look at Gabriel. And Gabriel was, it was a busy season for him. Very busy season. And we're going to look at it. Chapter 1, verse 11. He comes down to visit a man named Zacharias. Chapter 1, verse 11. And it says, And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Glad you like to be Zacharias, you know. Sees this guy by the altar, you know, starting to listen to him, and he realizes this guy's saying he's Gabriel. He stands in the presence of God Almighty. But look at all that Gabriel had to memorize. I don't think if God said to me, whatever those verses I just read, now I want you to go down there and talk to Zacharias. And I'm going to be, what did he say again? Okay, He was sent to deliver a message verbatim, and Gabriel got it right. And what a great blessing. Shortly thereafter, 6 months later, he backed down. He must have done a good job, God sending him back. And we're going to pick it up in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail! And she said, My name's Mary. Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, Well, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Pretty cool. But again, he was sent down for a specific task of giving this information. He did what God had instructed him to do. He didn't change the name. He didn't say, you know, Jesus is a nice name, but what about Harry? you know, he didn't screw it up. He just did what he was supposed to do and then departed. Didn't add, didn't subtract, didn't change. Really interesting. Let's go to chapter 4. So a little bit about angels, or an angel. God sends angels. I think most of us probably have encountered an angel. Maybe not per se knowing it, but I know I've had angels protect me at times. I didn't see the actual angel. I've seen an angel once helping me, but at the time I wasn't sure it was an angel until about 10 seconds later, and I said, oh, that was an angel. It was a guy in a pickup truck. And I didn't know, I got off on an exit because it was a detour, and there were no signs as to what to do once you got off the exit. And I said, and it was dark, and I didn't know where I was, and this car truck pulled up right next to me, and I saw him looking towards me. I rolled down my window. He goes, make a right. Wow. I said, oh, okay. And then he was gone. That was pretty cool. But I was wondering how he knew what I was thinking. But there you have it. Chapter 4, this is about Jesus Christ, verse 18. We're all familiar with this record at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And it says, this is Jesus Christ speaking, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So one of the things that Jesus Christ knew he was to do, what God had him to do, that he was sent to heal people. And if you just go to verse 37, you see he started, you know, he did that. Verse 37, "The fame of him went out into every place of the country round about, and he rose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house," which is Peter, "and Simon's wife's mother," so Peter's mother-in-law, "was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her, and he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and ministered unto them." So he obviously did some healing. Verse 42. "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him, and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them." They were liking what he was doing for them. And he said, "You know, what are the rents around here? Maybe I could do this." "And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogue of Galilee." He realized he was a sent one. He knew what God sent him to do. And he was faithfully carrying that out as our Lord. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. See, Jesus Christ stayed on track. He didn't take his cell phone out, whip it out, and start thumbing the thing to death, you know, and just get distracted. And you know, it happens. It's almost like I used to. I just got to focus. When I go into a store, because I rarely do, I start looking at everything because I'm amazed at how much stuff is out there. And it used to take me longer to get something until I finally said, I'm not going to look at anything except for what I'm supposed to go in there for. I'd get too distracted. It was fun to look. I mean, just amazing how much stuff is out there. But, you know, Jesus Christ didn't get distracted by other requests, like those people saying, "Hey, we really like what you're doing here. Can you just stay a while?" Now, if it was God's will, he would have. But God sent him to go elsewhere. Chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "Then he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." So he went, he gave them authority over, all authority over devils, right? And to cure diseases. And to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's what he was sending them for. "And he said unto them," and here's the specifics of how to do it. "And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor script, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of the city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed with all these things on their backs, staves and scripts, clothes, and well, they went according to what Jesus Christ instructed them. Very specific directions for how they were going to speak the word and heal people in this particular instance. Verse 6 again. "And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Isn't that something? They did according to what they were instructed to do. They were faithful messengers. And faithful messengers reap happy messengee senders, whatever you would call them. You know? So Jesus Christ must have been pretty blessed. They carried it out accordingly. Let's go to chapter 10, verse 1. "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore saith he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And then he gives them instructions again. Verse 16. And he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me. Who sent Jesus Christ?
God.
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Holy smokes. Let's go to John chapter 1. Can you imagine just being one of those guys and you're sent out and you kind of know what you're doing? You know, you realize the Lord Jesus Christ has sent me, he's given me specific things to do and not do. And it's the first time you go to speak the word to somebody, you see your first person and you say, I'm going to talk the word to that person. And they have need of healing and God shows you to heal them and you minister healing and they get healed. Would that thrill you? Would throw me, I'd be like, wow, this is pretty good. And then do it to somebody else. And then somebody gives you, you know, they look at their hand, you know, you're talking to them, they look at your hand, and all of a sudden four of the fingers drop. Just happens to be the middle one still up. Then you realize, okay, that guy's not receiving me. I guess he's probably not going to receive Jesus Christ either. But, you know, people do that too. Not everybody is receptive to what God's word has to say. But we've all been there where somebody says, you know, you're an asshole. They do it. And some people get so blessed and want more. So it's interesting how it all works. John chapter 1, here's a man that was a prophet that Jesus Christ said was the greatest prophet of all men, born of women. That includes all men, because all men have been born of women, right? So chapter 1, verse 6 says, there was a man sent from whom?
God.
Whose name was John. The same came with a witness to bear, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So John was a man who knew where he was going. Let's go to John chapter 4. This scripture that we're going to read really sums up the essence of the entire sending thing. It's really the essence of it. Jesus Christ speaking, verse 34, chapter 4. And it said, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. So when the guy's coming down aisle 4 and he's ready to clean up, then he sees the mess and says, you know, that's messier than I thought. I don't think I'm going to do this one. So, Jesus Christ didn't have that. His heart was, I want to do what God wants me to do. And John prayed today about Jesus Christ, you know, that when he was in the garden and he asked God, is there any other way of doing this? Three times he asked, and three times the answer was no. And so, his final answer was, okay, not my will be done, but thine. He knew he was sent, and he was going to do it. He was sent. Chapter 5, verse 30. Similar thing. It says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. That's whose will he's after. Like last night when we went to dinner, I thought it'd be great to go there to eat, obviously. You know, I like to eat. But my whole heart was to bless Samantha, and anything that could happen from that, where the word moves and grows for that woman's life and her family, and to be with the believers that went. And that was my heart. I wanted to do what God wanted me to do, to bless, be a part of that blessing. and to bless. And, you know, I knew I was going there for that. And so I was happy to do it. Fortunately, there was food involved. But I would have done it anyway. You know me. I don't complain. Let's go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. This is just a great record. Boy, I can't imagine being these guys. What the thrill in their heart must have been. The apostles were speaking the word. They got apprehended by the Sadducees and legal guys. Put in jail, and just because they were doing what God wanted them to do, and an angel gets them, breaks them out of jail, and tells them this in verse 17. It says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord came by night, opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." Can you imagine being busted out of jail by some angel sent by God, and this is what he tells you, go, stand and speak? Must have been thrilling to him. And they said, you know, maybe we ought to do that tomorrow. Verse 21, here's what a great reaction he had, and certainly is our heart when we hear something that we know is from God Almighty. "And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they were with them. They got all upset that they were there." But early in the morning, next day, boom. They just went right into that temple and did exactly what that angel beckoned them to do. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. What a thrill in the souls of those men that got out of jail, and then they're free to go to that temple the next morning. I think they probably were a little excited. I would be, you know. But it doesn't take an angel to motivate us. It doesn't take a prophet speaking, "Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt do whatcha. You know, the Word of God itself is our directive, right? I mean, if we had nothing else but the Word of God, that'd be plenty. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, says something about people who are getting sent or wanting to be sent. Verse 14, "How then shall they call in him, on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." It's a sweet thing to God Almighty. Let's go to, we're going to go lastly to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, we've been sent to speak the word of God. We've been given a ministry of reconciliation to reconcile people. And I thought I'd read that in chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us," or brought us back together, "to himself by Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ did the work that he was sent to do. And now, because of that, we can be reconciled to God, and we are. "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation," the ability to bring people back to God. "To wit, to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though we..." "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So now we are ambassadors. An ambassador is one who represents somebody else. Like in our government, ambassador to France or any other country in the world. Technically, what they're supposed to do when they go over to that other country is speak on behalf of the President of the United States. That's what he's supposed to be doing. Okay, what's the message I'm supposed to send? Okay, and then they're supposed to do that. That's what they're supposed to do. I don't know if they do it, but that's what they're called to do. That's what they're sent to do. And we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. If he wants us to go someplace, we should do it like he was going to be there. Right? I thought it was a great thought a couple of months ago. I thought, if Jesus Christ was in our fellowship, where he literally came every time, you know, regularly, would our fellowship be any different? I think it would be. Because I don't think any of us have reached what he's done so far. But can you imagine that? Jesus Christ is coming to fellowship today. And he sits right down next to you. You know, he wants to bless you, do whatever. Maybe he's got a sniffle. Maybe he needs to be prayed for. You know, Jesus Christ did get sick. He experienced all the crap that people... Yet without tempting God, without cursing God. So... you know, we represent Christ on earth, right? Wherever it is we go, we got Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I saw somebody outside.
It's a shark.
Huh?
It's a kid.
It is a kid. Yeah. Reminds me of a story. I should tell it. Okay. I had a teacher that said, he was a sixth grade teacher, and he realized that his zipper was undone while he was standing there teaching. And he thought, how am I going to do this? So he says, hey, kids, look outside. Look outside. And he thought that would distract him. And there was a dog and another dog. He said, oh, okay. He was kind of in a pickle. So... But anyway, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, and we speak the word, we minister, we're attentive to God's voice, and we do the things that he would have done on this earth. You know, in light of the grace administration and things like that, but we are literally sent by God Almighty, and we continue to live like that and to think like that. You know, we are more than your average guy or girl. And better than being sent by Gabriel, we've been sent by God Almighty and the written word of God. It's confirmed. And so he's waiting on us. You know? He's looking at our lives and just wanting to support us to do what he wants us to do. So what a life that is.